There's a literature on economics on whether common law countries grow faster and have less uncertainty than civil law countries. And Spanish America is thought to have inherited civil law from Spain. What's interesting about this, though, is that when we're talking about civil law, what we're really talking about is the Napoleonic Code. And that didn't get put in place in Spain until about 1808, and it didn't get adopted in Mexico until 1870. So when we're talking about law and economic development in early Mexico, we're talking about sort of a jumble of laws that Mexico inherited from Spain, most of them relatively antiquated, some of them overlapping. And it wasn't clear at the time whether Mexico was going to take these Spanish laws or create their own laws or do a combination. And it's my belief that the legal system in Mexico in the 19th century was one of the factors that really held it back economically. George Armstrong wrote a really interesting book in 1989 called Law and Market Society in Mexico. And in it, he talked about the Spanish legal system. And he characterizes the legal system as corporativist, in which different groups get special treatment under the law, and there's no unified law that applies to everybody. He argues that in this legal tradition, colleges, guilds, towns, clergy, and the military enjoyed special legal classification. This corporativist tradition was also followed in colonial Mexico, where special courts heard cases involving members of each corporate group. Coatsworth argues in a 1978 article that this creates a fair amount of uncertainty. He notes that it compounds the ordinary chaos of the system with interminable litigation over which court was appropriate to hear each case. One of the Mexican viceroys, which was the top official in colonial Mexico, argued everyone in his own court believes he will be better treated than in that of others, and thus all efforts are bent towards moving disputes and suits to one's own ground. When Mexico won independence from Spain in 1821, it was unclear which laws were still in effect and whether the new republic would use the Spanish legal system. A lot of the laws that were in effect in the late colonial period were already antiquated. In the 18th century, disputes were decided with 11 separate Spanish legal codes, including one from 693 AD. Commercial law, as Coatsworth notes, was partially codified in 1459 and was updated at various points after that. It was a real jumble of systems. A new mining code, the Ordenanzas de Minería, was issued in 1783, but other codes existed and were applied to special areas of activity without ever clearly superseding more general legislation. While Mexico did away with a lot of the policies and institutions of Spanish colonial rule, there still remained this idea of separate laws and tribunals for different professions, specifically the clergy and the military. Armstrong argues that this hindered the growth of a conception of law as a general body of rules applicable to all individuals. So why do we care? Why is it important to have law as a general body of rules applicable to everybody? Well, there's a concept that we call rule of law, and it's thought to be positively related to things that we care about, like economic development and greater investment, less uncertainty. What it means is that the rules of the game are known, that no one is above the law. There's one law and it applies to everybody. And this creates a certain freedom from arbitrary government action. And it also prevents jurisdiction jumping. So people trying to game the system, trying to get their lawsuit in their court to get better treatment. There was no single body of contract in commercial law, but instead several conflicting systems. A manual on civil procedure in 1850 listed six special tribunals, including one for the church, military, commerce, minors, vagrants, and infractions concerning censorship and libel. I thought I would take a second to talk about the vagrants court, because this is something that sounds very unusual to modern ears. A vagrant back at the time was defined as the son of family that have property and income, but who occupy themselves with gambling, prostitution, visiting cafes, or accompanying people of bad habit. It also included laborers who, without just cause, work half-time or less. If you were accused and found to be guilty of being a vagrant, you were sentenced to factory work or military service. There were several specific ways in which the Mexican legal system was detrimental to economic development in the 19th century. First and foremost, the system didn't promote joint stock companies or corporations, so businesses tended to be run by extended families. What this means in practice is that you are limited in scope to the size of your family. So you might be operating in a sector where it would make more sense to do so on a large scale. That is, it would be more economically efficient. But if you run out of family members, then that's pretty much it. Second, patent law was non-existent in this early period. Patent law is crucial for invention and technological change. Patents give a temporary monopoly to the inventor in exchange for making their inventions public. And what this does is allow investors to capture the full economic benefits of their invention and makes them more interested in inventing things in the first place. Third, there was a fair amount of property in Mexico that was considered non-transferable. This means that it couldn't be bought and sold. This essentially walled off this property from the rest of the market. In Mexico, property of Indian villages, church trusts, and property of town councils was considered to be non-transferable. The Mexican legal system posed several obstacles to commerce in the post-independence period. The first idea under the law was that sales were never final, and that the state was the ultimate arbiter of what goods were worth or what the fair price was. Armstrong notes that anyone who sold land or a house for substantially less or bought it for substantially more than it was worth could nullify the sale. And of course, who determined what the worth of the house was? Well, that was the state. A sale could also be rescinded if the seller could show that the sale was made for less than the half of the fair price. And the same for a buyer who paid more than 150%. Again, the idea that the state knows what the fair price is. There was also extensive price controls during this period. There was also laws against resale. It was illegal to buy agricultural goods at that time for the purpose of resale. You weren't allowed to buy used clothing at public auction for resale. And they had something against traveling salesmen for some reason. Traveling salesmen were not really allowed to travel. They were not allowed to ply the streets, and they weren't allowed to enter homes to sell their wares. So all of these things are examples of ways in which the Mexican legal system put forth obstacles to allowing commerce to really take off in the 1800s.